Welcome back to Bowl Droppings, everybody. I'm Josh McSwain here with my co-host AJ Torres.
Hey.
We had another debacle this Sunday as we were hosting the Rams, and it was over pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the trade deadline has come and gone. Disgruntled Deshaun is still on the team, though we're probably not going to see him anytime soon. Pretty much everybody whom we thought was maybe on the move, they've all stayed. And Charles Omenihu really was the only trade we made, and it was honestly surprising to me. I didn't know why he was sent packing, but also Vernon Hargraves, he was released and thus picked up by the Bengals. So, all in all, it's some very interesting moves. We're going to break that down and look forward to week 9 as we go to Miami. So, anyways, right now, let's get back to week 8 just for a moment. We're not going to dwell on this one because it was another not pretty game, to say the least. I think we all expected the Rams were going to run this game pretty easily, and they did, jumping out to a huge lead and cruising to a 38-22 victory. The final score made it look a little bit more respectable than it actually was. Davis Mills, in what was probably his last start, at least for now, throws for 310 yards, 2 touches and an interception. Rex Burkhead was the leading rusher with 4 carries for 21 yards, and he found the end zone. But yeah, we were down 38-0 at the end of the third quarter. And then in the fourth, Burkhead found the end zone. Brandon Cooks got a 45-yard touch. And then Brevin Jordan, in his debut, got a 9-yard touchdown pass from Mills. And then Mills ran for the 2-point conversion. So that's at least promising, though. I'll give you that. Brevin Jordan, his first action, he makes, well, I want to say impact, but he made his presence known. He didn't necessarily make an impact on the outcome of the game, but at least he may have shown a little bit of what he could do in the future. Obviously, Miami's tight end you. They've produced a lot of good ones over the years. Kellen Winslow Jr., Jeremy Shockey,
yep,
some other guys, and hopefully the pass-catching prowess that Jordan has, he still could be better as a blocker, but right now I'll be content with him just being good in the passing game. So Matt Stafford obviously had another good day, getting over 300 yards. Cooper Kupp, best receiver in the league this season, had 7 catches, 115 yards, touchdown. Good for those who have him on his fantasy team, like me. I lucked out with that pick in a PPR league.
Certainly.
Yeah. So I guess no real surprises in this game. Do you have anything you want to add to it?
You know, I feel like, and I was just watching the thing gradually, and the thing is that you have to really, it seems like you have to screenshot the stat line at the end of the third quarter, because some people are like, whoa, man, add up. Yeah, again, 300 yards. It's like, okay. But there's certain things that don't speak for it. And yeah, we've seen some guys really heat up at certain times. If you remember last year, Baker Mayfield didn't even touch 100 yards in the first half, ended up throwing 5 touchdowns in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
That's football for you. But this was absolute garbage time. 38 yes. to nothing. You don't have to worry about it. I mean, at that point, you pull your important starters, your guys that are making good money. Like, you know, if you're Sean McVay, it's the fourth quarter. You're like, okay, Stafford, Kupp, Donald, Ramsey. And there's probably like 2 or 3 other guys. You say, guess what? Get on the sideline, make yourselves comfortable, hydrate, and talk to your teammates for a bit. You deserve it. I mean, there
Right.
was just no hope for the Texans outside of seeing what you got. Now, mind you, you have a tight end that makes his debut, essentially. Jordan, and the small sample size of garbage time it could be of what is next. I'm happy to see it because it seems like all the tight ends that have been in Houston for the past couple of years, they've been up there in age. So seeing a young tight end at the position is actually quite refreshing. But
yes.
One thing that's been clear, no matter what stat you look at, is once again, the running game was poor.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about that.
Absolutely.
You look at the overall numbers for the team, 44 rushing yards on 14 carries, 3.1 average.
That's probably the lowest in the league, if not very close to it.
Yeah, we went over this a week or two ago when the Texans were 29th in rushing yards in the NFL.
And if it got lower, that wouldn't surprise me. No, it wouldn't for me either. It doesn't matter what veteran or what young guy you put in, but that's just how it goes. Do you want anything to talk about this Rams game, or do you want to move on to the trade deadline?
Let's just move on to the trade deadline. That's more interesting.
All right. So can I say this? My fellow football fans, I would like to bring clarity that Tex and I have agreed that we are so freaking happy this Watson crapola is put to rest for a little bit.
Yay! It's
honestly like a mini vacation. It's nice. You got some guys telling us, being like, hey, where does he go? Where does that go? And even the owner's going, oh, hey, I'm out. Well, Stephen Ross, I'm sorry, but you haven't built a good football team in the 21st century. You had 2 good years. That was maybe something promising. But guess what? 2 years after 21, that means a poverty franchise. I'm sorry. So essentially what we have here is we're talking about Deshaun wants to settle these lawsuits. Now, I'm not sure what settle means. It's a very vague way of putting it, but that's just been what's reported. I'm taking that as a grain of salt for now. And we hate talking about this crap conversation because we just want all parties to do this peaceful, and we hope nobody's been hurt. Bottom line. But if these things are settled and he is good to play the game of football again for the NFL, it's going to go into a bidding war, because if you have a price at the deadline, you're going to pay cheaper than what actually would be in the off season. So
Right. We
know what the contract is. We know that. We know his age. We know the ability, XYZ. Now it goes down to what do you need for him? And I'm sorry, but there are a lot of teams. The only team that I think was involved in the offseason for him, or the possibility of this going on, is probably Oakland, because Carr is having a great year. Now, everyone's been up and down on Carr, but on an up year compared to trading 3 first-round draft picks, and even though the Las Vegas Raiders haven't drafted well in years prior, I wouldn't give up on it for an up year on Carr. Now, if you're the Broncos, you have to inquire. If you're the Panthers, you have to inquire. And if you're
Definitely.
The Dolphins, you still have to have that high offer in place. And I understand you don't want to do it right now because of the lawsuits. But when those lawsuits clear, let me tell you something. Your quarterbacks have not developed well. Tannehill, which Dan Marino praised for a long time, he's flourishing in
Tennessee.
In a team that is really just centered around him, and is going to be centered around him this year with the best run back in football out for the year. So
Yep. You're
saying that not only do you not know how to put a team together, but you don't know how to develop a quarterback. So you don't have to develop Watson. He's already there. So I think the Dolphins are still going to be the way to go. But would it surprise me the way that the Panthers have been aggressive since the new ownership of them bringing him here? I don't know. But again, the Sam Darnold debacle, the donut, it's going to change a couple of things. A
Right.
couple of things I wanted to bring to you as far as the trade deadline goes. And we keep hearing, oh, we want to go younger. Well, Omi's still under his rookie contract. He got traded. I'm like, okay, I'm lost there. Now, I haven't got Butcher's S name. Vinegrees, right? Defensive back.
Vinegrees. Vernon Hargreaves.
Hargreaves, sorry. I knew I was going to butcher that. Apparently, there's this big conversation of because he was re-signed, he's the reason why they're not having Desmond King in that position to have him do his job. And now that he's released, it's said that Desmond King is going to be in that role. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, if we can have Desmond King back to where he's more comfortable in that slot corner type role, I'd definitely be happy with that. And you thought King could potentially be trade bait, but he obviously was not moved, so.
I think that was a missed opportunity. I think there is a lot of people that would have inquired. And to be completely honest, if he was having that year as a starting slot corner and he produced, I think there is a lot of teams that are going to be knocking on the door. And I think it would be a third round pick or so. But if he's
Maybe.
going, I'm just saying, if you're a corner, right? He started last year and he got sold off by for a cheap pick. He ended up not re-signing with the Titans. And now he's in Houston. It was a 1-year deal. I want to say $4.5 million if I was off the top of my head. He's looking for that big deal. And I'm thinking it's probably going to be something in the vicinity of possibly Logan Ryan money, maybe a little bit less.
Potentially.
So with that in mind, I'm not sure if Houston wants to commit to that type of money. So if he's not going to be back next year, that's why I'd say, hey, a third round pick is worth it for him because you could have Kansas City possibly involved in that deal. You might possibly have a team like Seattle, maybe. There's a lot of value for a rental corner that is good. A lot of people don't think
Yes.
this, but he's either got it or he doesn't. And there's a lot of people at a certain age, it's like you either got to develop them and hope it works, or you hope that he doesn't get too old where there's a lot of miles on those legs.
True.
We're
It's
seeing a
very
lot
true.
of defensive backs past the age of 30 really decline. And that's where it becomes tricky with Desmond King. So that's why I think it was a waste opportunity of what's going on, but I've been confused with this whole team the whole year. One missed opportunity, I think, which they didn't develop at all, same type of thing, Philip Lindsay.
Right.
They've been wasting him away and letting him sit. I mean, Burkhead doesn't have value. Lindsay has value. How come you're not playing Lindsay? How come you're not playing King? If these guys aren't coming back next year, you try to sell them as high as you can. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it is really interesting. Feel like they might want to bring in some younger guys. Well, that's at least theoretically what they might say, but why are you playing Burkhead, who's over 30? That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Exactly. Exactly. Makes absolutely zero sense. What
Yeah.
cause? What purpose?
I know they got some carries for Scotty Phillips against the Rams, but it's like Phillips should have been playing all year if you wanted to see what you had with the young guy.
Exactly. Which, if you want to keep going by age, right, then that means the Mark Ingram sign-in in the offseason made absolutely zero sense. The Burkhead signing made absolutely zero sense. Because if you have a backfield of David Johnson, who is there because of the big contract, Philip Lindsay, young, Scotty Phillips, relatively young. If you have those three and you take a guy off the practice squad or somewhere cheap, whatever the case, I'd be okay with that. But you're starting running backs that are in their 30s. Now, Mark Ingram was great for the locker room. I get it. But it's just, I don't think anyone's on the same page. People are blaming the coach. People are blaming the general manager. People are blaming the development. People are, blaming the scouts. Essentially, no one seems to be in sync with each other. I knew that this organization was chaos. And I know this team wasn't supposed to win this year. Some people put bets on them to not have a single game win all year because they thought Deshaun was going to be traded. They thought Tyrod wasn't going to start. But sure enough, they showed up, Urban Meyer and the Jags. And they look awful. As well as the Dolphins this week, awful.
Yeah, that is definitely true. We haven't gotten to the one trade that actually did happen with Charles Omenihu being shipped to the 49ers for a late round pick. I think the emergence of Jonathan Greenard made Omenihu expendable, but the return for him just seems dismal.
I
It's like,
mean,
is it really worth it?
no, because he's developing as a good pass rusher. There was a lot of guys that liked him, and I just thinking to myself, okay, well, I understand maybe Roy Lopez gets more snaps. I'm okay with that. But I mean, if you think a Minshew is going to be that guy, keep him around. He's young, he's good. Keep him developed, see what he does. You're trying to find the studs of this defense because most of the defense needs to be rebuilt. Because now, who do you have in that front seven? How many guys do you actually like? One, two?
Yeah, I mean, it is getting somewhat harder to say, but you look at Omenihu, actually, he had not produced a sack this season after getting seven his first 2 seasons in the league. He had 11 total tackles in 6 games, which was definitely on pace to pass his 17 tackles from 2020. Therefore, you have a guy who's 280 pounds, 24 years old, seemed like he could play the run at least decently and get after the passer a little bit. He may not ever be a pro bowler, but he seemed like a solid player. Of course, this kind of reminds me of the Shaq Lawson deal. Another solid defensive end. You ship him out for a late round pick, and you'll probably use that pick on a guy who may or may not make the team.
And
Just head scratching.
that's where I'm trying to get it. I mean, I hope they see something in maybe a Roy Lopez. That's the only thing I could really think of. That's the only result I could think of for this trade happen. I mean, listen, I'm not saying that he was wonderful. I just don't think that the trade made sense. I understand the Patriot way. From the old GM is to, hey, have every fifth, sixth, and seventh draft pick we can and have it be expendable and have our scouts do a lot of work for some guys that may or may not be on the board, maybe not even be in the top 200. I get all that. But when you need talent, when you need star power coming from the draft, you need those early picks. And if you're going to bank on fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks, you need guys that actually can produce. If they're serviceable, I think you got to keep them. If you don't think that fifth or sixth round pick is going to be, I mean, it's kind of lightning in a bottle, right? Do you
Right.
trust the scouts?
This point, It's hard to.
Are you trusting the guys that are drafting? I mean, granted, Coach Bob isn't drafting anymore. But I'm getting kind of squeamish with the defensive line because it's like I haven't heard the name of Ross Blacklock all year. He's starting to piss me off as time goes on. There's two head coaches. I don't see him on the line. It's starting to piss me off. Is he that bad? Or do they just not believe in him? Is he running his mouth? What is he doing?
Yeah, he's appeared in 5 games this year. He did have a sack against the Panthers. And he has 8 tackles, a couple quarterback hits, and he forced a fumble against the Panthers.
So it sounds like he's got one good game, and who knows? That could be anything. It's hard to read the minds of this team. Of all the teams to cover, I think this one's the most confusing. I think the Jets are easier to read. I think the Jags are easier to read. This team doesn't know who they want to play a starting quarterback. They don't know what the hell they're trading for. The direction they have is also inconsistent. You practice what you preach, and they can't even do that.
True. It's kind of frustrating that we keep the pieces that would net us the most return, like Cooks, and ship out guys that, for all we know, could be something like a Minshew.
I mean, there's a guy on this defense right now that is tied, well, at least before for the recent week, was tied in the NFL in sacks with Nick Bosa.
Yep.
And he's turning out great. A great find. But is that what we're banking the whole year on? There's too much wrong. Not only that, but I'm kind of thinking to myself, right? I've kind of been thinking, and it sucks because we've been thinking about nothing but the trade deadline and who are they going to draft for. I'm wondering if they could get some under-the-radar offensive linemen in there. You can name the guys that we have on there now, but right now you just got to read the writing on the wall and just say, I don't like what I see.
Yeah, it's tough to like a lot of things right now. If you have people pulling different directions as an organization, you're not going anywhere.
So, before we get too depressed about this bloodbath of the organization, let's go into next week. So we have two teams that are completely in shambles. One has already, in some minds, exceeded expectations. The other one, a lot of people are blaming the head coach, but I'm blaming a lot of people on this one. I think the ownership is accountable. I think Brian Flores has done a good job defending his quarterback, which, by the way, the media has droned him saying that he's no good or not good enough, which has been sinking in his head since week 3. So if you're Tua, you have the media off your back for a little bit, but it's just like the injuries, the what ifs. And there's a lot of guys in this team that haven't done their job. The wide receivers don't look great. Offensive line still doesn't look great. The defensive backs are looking like burnt toast. And yet, this is basically the Texans last year. You have a certain expectations. They're reasonable. And what happens? You look at this team and say, wow, what a complete and utter disgrace. So what's your take on week 9, Tex?
Well, I was just looking up some numbers real quickly. In terms of total yards, these two offenses are 30th and 31st in the league. Rushing offense now, again, 30th and 31st. Passing yards, I can't imagine it being all that much better. Okay, the Texans are 30th in passing yards, and the Dolphins are, looks like, 25th. Yeah, Tua has had a couple of good outlier games that kind of boost him up a little bit. But yeah, this is not going to be an aesthetically pleasing game. But here's how I view this. The Dolphins, despite not looking very good, don't look like they've entirely given up. I mean, obviously, there's been some games where they just got beat by a team that was a lot better than them, like the Bills, like the Bucks. But then you have other games you see, like the Raiders, the Colts, the Falcons, even last week against the Bills, like they showed that they were going to come in and they were going to scrap and fight. They aren't just going to lay down. Meanwhile, last 3 weeks, the Texans have looked like an absolutely discordant mess. Really, ever since Tyrod went down, they pretty much have looked that way except for the game against the Patriots. So, you have one team that just looks close. That looks bad in the Dolphins, and you have a team in the Texans that just looks utterly confused. I mean, this will either be the worst game of the year just because of the ineptitude, or it will be the greatest because it's a comedy of errors. That's how I think this is going to go. I really do. Now, you look at the Texans' history against the Dolphins, it's actually very good. They've only lost one game to the Dolphins in the team's history, and of course that was the infamous Ryan Mallett game where he missed the flight and then Lamar Miller absolutely trashed this Texans' defense.
Yikes. Interesting fact. Did you know that Houston has won 8 of their last 9 games versus Miami?
Yep, all time. It's 8-1. Texans are leading the series. Their last meeting was in 2018, which was a 42-23 win for us. But you look at the points scored. Texans 237, Dolphins 192. That's not as big of a difference as you would expect for a series that's this lopsided.
Well, can I say that for a couple years, one team actually knew who their quarterback was?
Yes.
Because you had Watson for a couple years, and you knew who your quarterback was.
Throughout they also had Matt Schaub for quite a few of these games.
Yes, that too. Matt Schaub was okay. It's just that I think they thought that he would be... Matt Schaub, I think a lot of people in Houston thought that he was going to be another serviceable guy. I want to say if I had to make an accurate comparison, would probably be something in the lines of Andy Dalton or Carson Palmer. Not amazing, but serviceable for a long time.
Actually, there was a few years in the late 2000s where Schaub was top 5 in the league in passing yards. I don't think he was ever truly elite, like certainly not on Peyton Brady level. But if you were to look at it today, I would have said Schaub was at least on the second tier of NFL quarterbacks for a few years in there, from like maybe 2009 to 2011. Some good years in there.
Yes.
But anyways.
Which is why I said Carson Palmer, because Carson Palmer was good, but he was never great to compete with the Manning and Brady. at the time. But even so, like I said, those two quarterbacks were actually good parts of the franchise, and Miami hasn't figured out who they want as a quarterback for the last two decades. So
no.
Let me reel you this. Who do you think is going to win this game?
It's really tough to say. Part of me just still leaning toward the Dolphins in this game. I mean, I want to pick the Texans to win, but Tyrod is coming back, which is a good thing. But, you know, he's been out for 2 months, basically. So he'll be rusty as he comes back in, and I don't anticipate he'll jump right back into the form he had. You look at Tua's form right now, it's been pretty good. But then again, Tua was limited this week. He's been limited in practice with rib and hand injuries. Devontae Parker is probably going to play, though he's dealing with shoulder and hamstring issues.
I still think that overall
Miami's still a better team, and I still think they're trying for their coach. And now you think about this, the whole Watson drama doesn't have to permeate the Dolphins locker room anymore. So maybe that's going to be the lift they need. It's still surprising to me that Miami fell this drastically so quickly. Now, make no mistake, I thought they were a year ahead of schedule last year, going 10-6. I thought last year they might be a 6-7 win team, but they were up to 10, and I think they had so much expectations to deal with this year. It's just kind of thrown them off. Tua being hurt doesn't help them. You look at how they played against the Falcons, you know, against a team that's kind of on their level in their stadium. They nearly pulled off the victory. You just look at that, and I'm just not having any confidence in the Texans right now. So it pains me to say it, because I remember at the start of the year, this was one of the games that I pegged as a potential win where people might not expect it. But now, in the moment, I just don't see it.
Well, I do, because this organization has already fallen apart. And you could say there's a lot of people that have liked Coach Flo, but I'll say this. Have you noticed that this year, I'm not sure what media I'm listening to, but was it like last year and the year before where players were saying, hey, man, I like Coach Flo. I like what we're doing. Look around. The Miami locker room is in shambles. And they were thinking since week three or week four, that Deshaun was going to come here and they're going to be back in playoff contention. Not win a division, because it didn't matter if Deshaun was going there or not. That division was going to the Bills.
Right.
The Jets weren't taking it because no one's smoking crack. And the Patriots just aren't at that level yet. This is a team that competed with the Cardinals last year in one of the games of the year. And sure enough, now they don't even look close. And that team now, the Cardinals, is not a Super Bowl favorite, but they're shooting for it. They're contending for it. And they were one stupid AJ Green play away from being undefeated so far.
It's true.
I'm riding the Arizona train, and the Dolphins, they don't even look like they should have made that game interesting compared to last year. The Dolphins are an absolute disgrace. Now, I know I say screw all Florida teams type of thing. Same thing with the Jags. But my Atlanta, this team is not good. Their defensive backs are burnt toast. Their running game sucks. Their offensive line sucks. And listen, I'm just going to be... Well, just like my mechanic says, I'm pulling the tie rod. I know we're going to disagree on this, and we've mostly been on par with each other for, I want to say, all year. If not, not much of a difference. But tell you this. I think we're not going to change our minds on this one, and we're just going to have to wait for it. But tell me, final score prediction, you first.
Oh, boy. You know, it is interesting. By yards allowed, these are the two worst defenses in the league. They are the only clubs allowing over 400 yards per game on average. Now you look at points allowed. The Dolphins are 29th, allowing 29.1. The Texans are 31st, allowing 30.1 points a game. The only team below the Texans in terms of points allowed is, as you might have guessed, the winless Lions. But anyways, two pathetic offenses and two pathetic defenses. Two teams riding 7-game losing skids. Oh, boy. I could just as easily see this being like a 13-10 snooze fest as I could see it being a 38-35 thriller. I think the odds of that happening, those two things happening, are about the same. I really do. And that's what makes this so intriguing to me.
I think the score is a little high, but you're absolutely right.
You know what? I'm going to go with the high scoring route today. I'm going to say the Dolphins win 35-31.
You know what? I'm going to take the middle road. I'm going to go 24-21 Houston.
Okay.
So I think there's a little bit of competition in there. Now, if they had better running game on both sides where they could milk the clock a little bit, I think that your high score could actually be obtainable. But I just don't see them run the ball a lot, and that's why I don't see them having that low-scoring game. Although I could be wrong. But I think this is going to be a Houston game, and there's no way we're going to convince each other our points because we already got ourselves dialed in. But do you have, what else you got for me?
You know, that really sums it up for this week.
Oh, joy, oh, pain.
Yeah. All right, so that wraps it up for this week, everybody. Remember to check us out on Twitter. Handle is @TexansTalkPod. And on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. Thank you once again for listening. We'll see you next time.